You're listening to Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
Well, a very pleasant, good Saturday morning once again. Welcome to another edition of the KLEM Coach's Corner that's brought to you every Saturday by Chapman Overhead Door, Nohava Construction, Floyd Valley Healthcare, True Health Chiropractic, Sitzman Construction, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Get Branded 360, and Ameriprise Financial with Mike and Ross Rulin. Daniel Versteeg joining you on the Coach's Corner, and what a week four of the high school football season it was last night. We had a great contest in Hinton as Galen Catholic beat Hinton 28-26. And we'll also be chatting up Lamar's Community Football. They had an equally as entertaining contest with a victory over 7th-ranked MOC Floyd Valley 24-22. The Bulldogs and Jays now sit 3-1, both overall. Lamar's will be entering district play next week at Storm Lake. That'll be our next contest right here on KLEM Radio. And the Jays have two games under their belt in district play with four more to go the rest of the regular season. So we'll be chatting with Ken Vigdahl, Lamar's head football coach, coming up in just a couple of minutes right here on KLEM. And Jeremy Schindler, head coach of Galen Catholic football, will join us closer to the bottom of the hour. Did want to run down some of the Plymouth County scores from yesterday. In eight-player football, District 1, the number one team in the state, Remsen St. Mary's, they had no problem with Kingsley Pearson. 49-0 winners over the Panthers at home. Great showing by the Hawks and Coach Osterman and the crew. Class A District 1, it was 10th-ranked Hartley Melvin Sanborn, now the front-runner and the sole leader of the district standings. They beat up on MMCRU 66-34. The Royals played a good second half, though. MMCRU entered the second half down 54-7, so good job there. They end up outscoring the Hawks 27-14 in the final bit. Non-district contest here was third-ranked Woodbury Central 41-7 winners over Akron Westfield. Yeah, that is a very good Woodbury Central team. Hinton knows that already, and Akron Westfield found that out last night as well. We've got a lot of other scores, including the first district games of the year in 1A and 2A. Still some non-district games in 3A and 4A, some 5A scores as well. You can find all of those scores on our website, KLEM1410.com. Be sure to hover over the sports tab and click on sports scores and results. Well, let's get these happy coaches on the line. Both of them talking about wins this week. We love when we get to chat about wins with both coaches. Ken Vigdahl will join us after this commercial break. It is the Coach's Corner on this Saturday morning here on 1410 AM and 96.9 FM, KLEM.
Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Michael K. Rulin about the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. It's a personalized, flexible, step-by-step approach toward financial balance. Call Michael K. Rulin, Financial Advisor, Certified Financial Planner Practitioner, Ross Rulin, Associate Financial Advisor, or Sam Van Wettering, Associate Financial Advisor at 546-9525. Office is located at 129 Central Avenue, Southwest Lamar's, Iowa. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Specializing in EPS buildings and homes, new construction, and remodeling, Sitzman Construction has been doing business in the Lamar's area for 15 years. They're your area expert in EPS solid core shops and homes. Jeremy and his crew would love to come out and give you a quote on your post-frame agricultural building, new home construction, or even your home remodeling project. At Sitzman Construction, quality and customer satisfaction are the focus on the job. Call Jeremy today at 546-4263 and start building with the best, because at Sitzman Construction, they satisfy your construction needs.
A complex system of bones, joints, ligaments, and tendons choreographs every movement throughout your day. Where you get care for your body matters. Turn to the experienced team at Floyd Valley Healthcare, where technology, orthopedic care, and therapies meet to support your every move. From sports medicine to scopes and carpal tunnel surgery to complete knee, hip, or shoulder replacements, the orthopedic services at Floyd Valley can help keep your complex system working for you. Floyd Valley Healthcare, your community, your health, your life.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We welcome you back to this edition of the KLEM Coach's Corner. It's brought to you every Saturday by Chapman Overhead Door, Nohava Construction, Floyd Valley Healthcare, True Health Chiropractic, Sitzman Construction, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Get Branded 360, and Ameriprise Financial with Mike and Ross Rulin. Joining us now is the head coach of Lamar's Community Football, Coach Ken Vigdahl. Boy, what a win last night, 24-22. The Bulldogs upset the 7th-ranked MOC Floyd Valley Dutch, who were coming into the contest unbeaten. Well, and they leave Lamar's with a loss last night. Coach, first of all, just what was the feeling in the locker room after you guys come from behind, you guys fight hard with a good team like that, and you come away with a win?
Well, we're just excited. And, you know, Giovanni making the kick at the end of the game, you know, with 9 seconds left, and just, you know, you could just see it on the, you know, we kind of thought the game was over a couple of different times, and we kind of ran on the field and stuff. But that's just how excited we were, because you were right, it was a hard-fought battle game. And you know, they're a very good football team. They had speed, and up front they would slant and things like that defensively. And so, you know, I just think there was a lot of joy and stuff. And obviously, you know, everybody's excited. And to get a win over, you know, another quality team. We've had a tough schedule here, you know, for the last few weeks. So, you know, it was just nothing but, you know, joy and happiness. Obviously, you come back from behind and win. And, you know, you think the game is going to be tied. And, you know, then they go ahead, they kind of muff the PAT and get in for two. And then all of a sudden you find behind and we fight back like we do. And then able to put a kick through at the end. What was it, 41 yards or something like that? And you know, so, you know, you can't be anything but excited for these guys.
No, you can't. I mean, it was looking bleak for you guys right away. You guys fumbled the ball to start and give MOC Floyd Valley a nice possession to work with. They're up 7-0. But that first half was really a struggle for you guys. And them, I would assume, as well. Offensively, it seemed like just trying to feel each other out. What did that first half all kind of entail from an offensive standpoint that kept both of you guys from being able to really find the end zone or find some movement of the ball consistently?
Well, I just think there were great two defenses out there last night, you know, ours and theirs. You know, they slanted their fast, probably faster than we originally thought they were going to be. But, you know, offensively for us this week, we have to go back to some basics. We did some things, you know, that we characteristic don't do last night. And it was a different front. It was a 3-front versus a 4-front. And we had our up front guys stepping the wrong way at times and things like that. So, you know, this week there's no doubt we have to get back to the basics of how our offense is supposed to run and kind of we don't need to revamp it, but we need to relearn some of the things that we may have forgotten, you know, over the past couple weeks. But, you know, their defense, I thought, was really, you know, they had given up 0 points throughout. Well, I guess they gave up 7 against Unity on a long ball, but besides that, that's all the points they'd given up on the year. So, you know, that's just the way it was. And then, you know, we put our defense in a bad spot for that 7. You know, we fumbled the ball and kicked it back another 25 yards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you give somebody a short field, chances they're going to score is great, you know. But, you know, then our defense comes through and they gave up a drive right before half. And you're thinking, okay, there's like a second left on the clock. You know, we got to get out of here without a score. And they're on the 2 or 3. And then Sione picks it off and goes, you know, 98 yards for a touchdown that kind of, you know, got everybody excited again. And in the locker room, you could tell, okay, now we just need to come out this second half and finish it and stuff. And, you know, but both defenses, you know, played great. And, you know, our offense really got it going after, you know, we got down and we were able to move the ball and things like that. And, you know, that little reverse we ran scored earlier in the second half. And then, you know, we were able to get it. We were able to get some chunk yardage on a long pass, and then we kind of went to hurry up, and we were able just to bing, 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 and Elijah got to the end zone. And then, of course, at the end, we came back. And, you know, one of the things they did kickoff-wise was they kicked it short. Mm. You know, they don't want Sione or Bo to get it, which was fine, but he kicked it out of bounds, so he had to kick it again. And, you know, that put them 5 yards deep, so that put us 5 yards closer.
Well, yeah, and kicking to those guys is never a good idea with their athleticism, and it was obviously on display with that interception return for Sione and the touchdown run for Bo Wadley. Chatting with Ken Vigdahl, head coach of Lamar's Community Football. when you talk about, you know, some of the things you had to change or wanted to change, I guess, offensively from your show in the first half, were you guys able to make those adjustments kind of on the fly in the locker room at halftime? Because, I mean, you guys come out in the third quarter, you score right away in the fourth quarter. And then obviously, yeah, you drive down the field, get close enough for a field goal. Were those the result of some adjustments you guys were able to make at halftime?
Well, like when we run our inside zone, and if you're going to run it to the right, you step with your right foot. Well, we had some of our linemen going to the left, and we had our, you know, we weren't opening up to our midline for our quarterback. And so everything was just off of kilter, lack of a better term. And so, you know, that, it just didn't go well in the first half. And so, you know, we kind of cleaned that all up, you know, at halftime. And, you know, let's get to midline. Let's get to, you know, stepping with our right foot. We're not having to block back. That's not how we run that play and stuff. And so, you know, then we were able to, you know, Keegan did a great job of really becoming comfortable throwing the key routes again. And really in the last quarter, we kind of went back to our basic of we're running our inside zone with our key routes, and that just seems to open it up. And then we're able to get Elijah in the middle, and, you know, we're working both sides of it. So, you know, I just thought we got more confidence as the game went along with it.
You know, Elijah Doherty, it seems like for him, he's been he's been kind of focused on, obviously. We've talked about him being a three-year starter. He's able to pick up 50 yards on 15 carries for you guys last night in a touchdown. I guess it's not the quantity of yards he's used to, whether that's 125, 200, however many he could pick up normally. But how impactful are his touches of the football when he gets the ball running up the middle and he's got the physicality to run over people? How impactful is that, even though he may not be getting 15 yards a pop or something like that?
Well, see, what he does is because exactly everything that you just talked about him is what he allows us to do is to throw the screens to the outside, because like last night, they were not going to let us, you know, continue to just pound at him and run the middle, because they had seven guys in the box. They were going to slant one way or the other, and that allowed them to play man coverage, or, you know, they probably played it, well, they played their cover two zone, but that allows them our outside routes. And especially when we line up and move counter out of the backfield, they don't have the numbers out there to be able to generate, you know, more defensive guys than we have offensive guys. So, you know, all that plays an important part. And it's, you know, last year he probably had a few more touches and a few more yards, but at the end of the day, we're spreading the ball out more and more all the time. You know, you hear, you know, Bo, and you hear Connor, and you hear Sione and Nolan, you know, everybody's getting it, and Keegan pulling it and things like that. So it's a much more diverse offense than what we probably had last year. We probably had to rely on him a little bit more last year, but, you know, his presence in the game forces defenses to make sure that the box, tackle to tackle, is covered with 5 to 7 guys.
Ken Vigdahl's with us, head coach of Lamar's Community Football. You talked about that defense earlier on, and other than that short field off the fumble and MOC scoring, really strong showing again defensively, forcing a turnover and score. You guys get into the backfield so many times. I see a number of tackles for loss back there from your defense. What is it about the way you guys play defense, or what was it about last night's performance on defense that got you guys a lot of success and it showed again?
Well, I think what they were able to do is, you know, a lot of teams run inside zone, which is everybody stepping one way, and we run trap too. But last night, you know, MOC is a trap team, kind of an option team where they're pulling a guard to the backside defensive tackle and kicking him out. Everybody's blocking down, kick out. And, you know, they were able to gash us for a little while in the first half there. And then our defensive tackle settled down and really started taking that away. Our linebackers, which is Elijah and Evan, what they started to do is they started to read that pulling guard. And then, you know, they're just so quick off the ball. And, you know, and then we talked about them last week again was, you know, when you have Carson and Alex on the outside, you know, Alex ran the loop last night down the defensive line and had a tackle for loss at a big time. So, you know, it's just they were able to make the correction. They took away the trap, You know, I thought our DBs played an excellent game last night. You know, Sione had a couple of, you know, knockdowns, and Ryan Sadowski had a couple knockdowns, and so did Connor. So all those things, you know, it just makes teams try to do something that they don't want to do all the time.
Tell me about that interception. You briefly touched on it earlier on, but you have it late in the contest. MOC's pounding on the door of the goal line. They're trying to go up two scores before halftime. And then just like that, you pick it off and you tie the game before the half. What did Sione do on that play that gave him an opportunity to run it all the way back for six?
Well, it's one of those, you know, golden moments on an offense or a defense, however you want to say it, that, you know, when you have to throw it because there was, you know, like 1 second left or 6/10 of a second left, whatever there was. And, you know, if you don't, you know, our run defense is so strong, it was like, okay, we got to go for two yards. Let's throw the ball. And the guy ran an out, and Sione stepped right in front of it. And, you know, and when you catch it there full speed, like with Sione, he's gone. You know what I mean? And so that's exactly what he did. And you know, he lifted everybody up at halftime, and that's great to go in at halftime 7-7.
You know, and he's the leader, as you talk about, you know, lifting everybody up at halftime, and all of those seniors that we've talked about here already tonight, that's got to be good to see them, you know, be able to step up at halftime and, you know, in the second half. And for them, it's probably a moment of showing the other guys, hey, I can put my money where my mouth is at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's you have, and you know, we talk about this all the time, and you know, I thought MOC played an extremely physical, hard game, and we played a you know, extremely physical, hard game. And I think, you know, the one thing is that we talk about, you finish empty, you don't quit no matter what happens, you keep going. You know, tough people win, all our mottos, all the things that we live by, you know, and that's what they have, and that's what we do. And you know, the thing that we need to do for the next few weeks is, you know, we have to be mentally into the game. We have to know, focus, you know, so we come out right away. And if we do get up 7, let's get up 14, let's get up 21. You know, we have that way of kind of, we get up or we feel comfortable, and then we're kind of, you know, we're playing with them, and then all of a sudden we're behind. And then it's like, okay, we're going to play extremely fast and extremely hard, extremely focused. We just got to play that all the time.
Mm-hmm. We're chatting with Ken Vigdahl. He's the head coach of Lamar's Community Football. A 2-point victory over MOC Floyd Valley, 24-22. Yeah, you talk about the moment, the oh no moment of you guys are down by a point with 3 minutes left to go in the game and kicking things into high gear. You've been, I guess, unfortunately for your gray hairs, have been in that moment a couple of times here this season where you guys find yourself behind late and you pull yourself back into the contest. Just what does that show you? I mean, what does that tell you about the team that you've got out there that you put on the field every Friday night?
Well, I think that's just when they play their best. You know what I mean? And you want them to go out and dominate the game or get the game, you know, in control in the third or fourth quarter where we don't have to do that. But when you watch us play, when we get to that moment of, okay, we have a true sense of urgency, we're down by two or we're down by one or, you know, we're down by four, whatever it was against SBL. I mean, that's when we get to that next level of play. And like I said earlier, that's the level of play we have to start the game with. You know what I mean? That's the level of play we want to play all the time and stuff. So, you know, it's just good to see. I mean, they're just not going to quit. I mean, that's just them. And no matter what it is, it's like, you know, we simplify. And, you know, when there's not a lot of time left and you hurry up, it's not like you can call complicated plays. It's the simple key routes. It's the simple slant routes. It's the, you know, slant and goes and things like that. And you stay in the same formation. And, you know, like last night, Teagan once again shows, you know, once he's under pressure and we've got to make a play, we make a play.
And it probably was really especially good to see Teagan perform so well. He completed over 50% of his passes, over 100 yards, considering the fact that, yeah, he was kind of dealing with a little bit of a bum ankle there for a good chunk of the week anyway. But he is able to step up big and lead you guys to a win at the quarterback position.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about his ankle a little bit, but you know, it's one of those things that he knows the importance of how to take care of himself and icing and keeping off of it and all those good things, which, you know, if you don't do, you don't get to play on Friday night. So he did all the right things during the week to be able to play. And at the end, he had, I'm sure it's sore today, but it's, you know, he was able to run some last night and get out of the pocket and pass some. So, you know, I'm sure he's sore, but you would never tell it from last night's game.
Oh, absolutely. He'll fight through the soreness today after the win. We're chatting with Ken Vigdahl. He's the head coach of Lamar's Community Football. All right, we've saved the best for last. Jovani Kabongo, the 41-yard field goal late in the contest. Coach, in talking with you and some of your assistant coaches, they all had the kind of sense of, okay, if we get down inside the 30-yard line, and in most scenarios, we should probably come away with points of some kind. And that's obviously in reference to the way Jovani Kabongo plays out there and the weapon he poses in the special teams game. What was that moment like for him, and just being able to sink that long of a field goal and do it under some heavy pressure circumstances?
You know, it's awesome to see him do what he does, and you know, it's one of those things. You know, we get lined up, we're all ready to kick it. You know, everybody's ready. Da da da. And of course, you know what's going to happen.
Yep.
You know, MOC calls a timeout. You know. And so we come over and, you know, we kind of let him be by himself. And we're talking about, hey, it starts up front. It starts with a snap. We got to have a great snap. We got to have protection. You know what I mean? And then just kind of let him not, you know, worry about it. Not, you know, you don't want to talk to him a whole bunch. And you know, he's got his mindset. You know what I mean? But boy, when he hit that ball last night, it was like a rocket. I mean, it was, we had to go for it earlier in that drive on fourth and five, and Bo gets a first down out of the deal to move it a little bit closer. But, you know, the way he hit that ball last night, he could have hit it from another probably 10, 15 yards. But, you know, you don't want to, put that kind of pressure on him at that point if we could still get a first down and stuff. But, yeah, it's awesome for him to come through. And like I said, it was like when he hit it, you could hear the thump of his foot come off the ball. I mean, he punched it, and it was like, at one time I thought, is it going to hit the scoreboard? He hit it so hard. So, you know, it was kind of like, wow. And then, of course, you know, everybody's excited and stuff, and it's kind of funny. It's kind of unique. And so he's so excited that he's standing on the sideline, and we have to kick off again, and I have to go over and say, hey, you're up one more time. You got to kick the ball. So it was great for our team and for him and for things to happen the way they did.
Boy, that was, you know, the first thing I noticed, too, of that kick, Coach, is you could have kicked that thing from about midfield, and he probably still would have put it through the uprights. I mean, you've coached a lot of football. You've seen a lot of football. I mean, have you been able to be around a kicker like that in your coaching tenure? I mean, he's only a sophomore, and I feel like the ceiling for him is just – getting higher and higher and higher.
It is, you know, and I remember the time where, oh, can we get it to the 8 so we can kick a field goal, or can you get to the 10, you know what I mean? And now it's like, you know, like last year it was like, we got to get it to the 20, you know, for him to have a shot. And now it's, you know, now we're kind of like the 30 is our mark and stuff. But like I said, I've been around football a long time, and you know, I've heard it at college and stuff. But like I said, when his foot hit that ball, I've never heard a sound like that before. You know what I mean? As from a high school kid, I mean, it was a thump, and it just, well, and he got height on it. You know what I mean? It was about as good as it gets.
And it is worth noting as well, that is a new Lamar's Community program record for a longest field goal, 41 yards, and of course the game winner for the Bulldogs last night at 24-22. Coach, one final thing. Now you've done all you can do non-district wise. You guys are 3-1 heading into district play. It's a game better than you were last year, obviously. Now are the extra important games, the one that count toward the district standings. What do you say to your guys heading into this part of the season where the games really, take on a little bit of extra significance? Do you stress that to them, or is it just still trying to go about business as usual?
You know, we talked about it last night after the game in our huddle, and it was like, you know, these last 4 weeks have been great. You know, we've played a lot of tough competition. You know, we scrimmaged Central Line and SBL and Helan and, you know, Sioux City East and now MOC, who was rated in 3A, like you said. But with all of that being said, they're important, but now the real importance starts. Yep. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, okay, now all the things that we've learned in the first 4 weeks, we have to put together every Friday night. We can't have a Friday night that we don't come to play, because in preseason we had Spencer, Fort Dodge, and Webster City all ranked within the top 10. So, you know, we're not walking into a district where, okay, you're going to have to play one or two Friday nights out of the deal and you're going to win it, because you know you're going to win three or four of those games. You know what I mean? Yeah. We've got one of the tougher districts in the state, and so we have to show up. We have to be mentally ready to show up every Friday night, and we have to prepare like we haven't prepared before, because just like you said, it's one of those things. You can't just falter now. You know, if we faltered against SBL or Helan or MOC, okay, you know, you're 2-2, but it's a non-district game, and it counts, and it counts for points, and it counts for power points and all those things. Mm-hmm. But at the end, you still, it doesn't count as your district standing.
And it's a very important stretch. It starts next week with a contest at Storm Lake. We'll have the coverage of that one. Coach, I'll let you go. We'll be talking with you throughout the rest of the week. Congrats on the win last night, and we'll talk to you this week.
Hey, thanks, Daniel.
Absolutely. That's Ken Vigdahl, head coach of Lamar's Community Football. We're back with Galen Catholic coach Jeremy Schindler. Just as competitive a contest to talk about with him after this break here on the KLEM Coaches Corner on KLEM.
At Nohava Construction, we build the world's best roofs, and we stand behind them. We've been recognized as an elite roofing specialist year after year. At Nohava Construction, we have a high accuracy rating. We use the world's finest roofing technology for our commercial projects. Whether it's new construction or roof replacement, we work hard for our customers. You're the reason we installed the best commercial roofs around. Nohava Construction, your elite roofing specialist.
Nohava Construction Lamar's has roofing covered and then some.
Do you need shirts for an event? Get Branded 360 offers competitive pricing and awesome customer service. Get Branded's graphic artist can take your ideas and create a design for you. Get Branded 360 carries a variety of blank clothing. Get a tank top for the hot weather, a sweatshirt for cool nights, and t-shirt for any time at Get Branded 360.
When you want to show appreciation for someone's generosity, kindness, or achievement, Dryco Products Incorporated can assist you with a wide selection of high-quality recognition products. Go to www.drycoproducts.com to see examples of the complete line of displays, building directories, employee tenure, wall of fame, memorials, sales performance, education, medical, faith, military, and much more. Dryco Products is your source for personalized gifts, such as Bible covers, wine glasses, picture frames. Almost anything is possible to personalize. Contact Dryco Products for more ideas. Dryco Products online, www.drycoproducts.com.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We're glad you're back with us here on the KLEM Coach's Corner. Great chat with Ken Vigdahl earlier this hour, and now we're joined by Jeremy Schindler. The Coach's Corner is brought to you by Chapman Overhead Door, Nohava Construction, Floyd Valley Healthcare, True Health Chiropractic, Sitzman Construction, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Get Branded 360, and Ameriprise Financial with Mike and Ross Rulin. As mentioned, Jeremy Schindler, head coach Galen Catholic Football, joins us on the Coach's Corner after a thrilling 28-26 victory over their in-county rivals, the Hinton Blackhawks. Of course, it's Jeremy's alma mater. It's a district contest. All of these big, important storylines of the contest, Coach. And you guys were able to come away with a win. It probably wasn't the prettiest. I know it wasn't the prettiest for you guys, but to squeak out a W has to feel good.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the way we started the game and very flat the entire first half. And so, you know, the guys did a great job of sticking together, making some adjustments in the second half and really just playing with more energy. And the only thing that matters is we talked all week and we talk every week is you go 1-0 every single week. And we were able to get the job done last night.
Yeah. You say flat in the first half. And I think that describes you guys so well. You guys with a number of three and outs, you get a good drive going there between quarters, but man, it just seemed like whatever you guys were running, especially running, They had an answer for it. What was that answer, or what were you guys not doing that you normally do when it comes to running the ball?
Yeah, I mean, I could kind of tell before the game that we were flat, and I told the guys, you know, right before kickoff, I said, you know, we need to flip the switch now. You got to get ready to play a football game. But you could see that look in their eyes, like, I don't really know what it was. But they were just more physical than us up front the entire first half. Their offensive line and defensive line, really, to be honest, just kicked our butt for the entire first half. You know, we were able to mount that one drive, and I thought that might get us going when we were able to take a lead at 7-6. I thought it might get us going, and we couldn't sustain it. And, you know, we talked at halftime, really, it's nothing schematic. We didn't have to make any scheme adjustments offensively or defensively. It was just a pure effort and energy level. And, you know, I got to give a lot of credit to you know, we didn't have our emotional leader out there. You know, we didn't have Spangler. And he's the guy who gets everybody going. And, you know, he kind of got him riled up at halftime. You know, he wants these guys to win so that when he gets back, we're playing meaningful football games. And, you know, we had seniors step up in the second half, and that was really good to see.
Well, it was really good to see that adjustment, yeah, in the second half. And, yeah, for you guys, I thought, well, maybe that first drive Hinton had, they get down into your territory, and then Keaton picks them off. I thought that might get you going, but you guys go three and out there a couple of times. I mean, it just felt like, obviously, if you guys are not there, that doesn't help anything. But there were a number of mistakes, too, that just seemed a little uncharacteristic for you guys in that first half.
Yeah, you know, we missed a deep ball. I can't remember if it's on the first or second drive, but Ryan Augustine's running wide open, and I don't know if there was some confusion from the signals coming in from the sidelines, or if, you know, he just didn't think the ball was coming his way, but he slowed up his route for about half a second, and it's when he slowed up that Connor let it fly. And, you know, maybe Connor could have put a little more air under the ball and let Ryan run under it. But if Ryan catches that, there is absolutely no one in front.
Yeah.
So there's 7 points that we don't, you know, in past games we've made that play. So there was one instance, you know, in terms of, you know, the running game. You know, we just weren't being physical, and their defensive ends were being super aggressive, and we were able to capitalize on that a little bit later in the game with a couple bootlegs, but it was really just, you know, we needed to be more physical, and yeah, we missed a couple plays that we normally make. Now, thank goodness, you know, on that first drive, we did win the turnover battle, and I think it was 3-0, so that was huge, because if we don't get those turnovers, it might be a different outcome.
It might be a very different outcome. Yeah, it's at that point, you're probably talking one, maybe two possessions at that point. Defensively for you guys, we talk about Aiden Spangler, and when he's out, you miss him in the ground game. But it seemed like you missed him on the defensive line, too, because as you said, physicality probably wasn't there all night. And he's usually the guy that brings the wood on that defensive line, especially when he comes off the edge.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he plays both ways for us, plays really hard, and makes a lot of plays on offense and defense. I think his defense is kind of goes unnoticed because of, you know, everybody. Offense is a little easier for the casual fan to understand. Yep. But he does a great job on the defensive line. And we had some guys, you know, step in, and they made some plays. But, yeah, they don't make as many plays as Aiden does. And so that's just, again, it's an area where we've been trying to build some depth along that defensive line and try and get some more guys in there and see who can make plays for us. And that's just going to be key these next few weeks until we get him back.
You know, Coach, there were a couple of guys we talked about with that Hinton offense, about them as playmakers. You know, Bo DeRocher, obviously, he had a big game. Glenn Carlson, before he exited the game with an injury, I thought he was playing some good football. That interception aside, he was running the ball. He was you know, throwing well. What was it about those two, I guess, and the way they had the dynamic with each other and they were moving the ball together that made things, you know, that much more difficult for your defense?
Yeah, I mean, they made plays, and we didn't tackle well. You know, when the DeRozier kid got the ball, we did not tackle him. And he ran, give him credit, he ran the ball really hard last night. I think that's probably the hardest he's run. I think the Hinton team played with outstanding effort the whole game, you know, and we just didn't match that at the beginning of the game. You know, the Carlson kid, he you know, you talk about Aiden being a guy on defense for us. He's a guy on defense for them too. And he was really causing our tackles and fullbacks and guards some problems, whether we were trying to zone block him or trying to kick him out with a guard or a fullback. And so, you know, when he went down, you know, they had got to bring in a backup, and the backup wasn't near as good. And that really helped us in the ground game, because we isolated that backup defensive end, and we really, really went after him. I guess that's one of the reasons why we don't play Connor on defense all the time, because stuff like that happens. Mm-hmm. You know, we pick our spots as to when Connor's going to play on defense, because he's a great defensive player for us. He's one of our top two or three defensive players. And so, yeah, I mean, unfortunate for him. You hate to see a kid go down with an injury. But, you know, it just – that definitely changed the game, and we were able to take advantage of that.
Jeremy Schindler's with us, head coach of Galen Catholic football. Did that, along with maybe, you know, some of the things you talk about at halftime, did that just kind of, you know, spark your team's kind of mojo and their ability when you guys were in the huddle there at halftime to say, hey, we are not only still in this game, but still have a good chance to win it late?
Yeah, I think it was that, maybe a little bit of tough love at halftime, and to really have a gut check as to, you know, why we're here and what our goals are, and to make sure we do this the right way. And then just, hey, someone's got to go out there and make a play. And if one good thing happens, then another good thing's going to happen. And then another good thing's going to happen. And that's kind of what you saw. You know, we get the drive for a touchdown. Connor finishes it off. And then, you know, we get a three and out, you know, pretty quick. And then we're getting the ball, and all of a sudden Bonderson's reversing field and taking it up the sidelines for a score. And all of a sudden it's 21-20. We got the lead. And so great things happened. And probably that, you know, that was great to see. But then probably the thing that I was a little even more proud of was that when they retook the lead on us, we didn't panic. We engineered a drive, went down the field, and got 7 points when we needed it.
Yeah, those two scores you talked about too were very important, obviously. Yeah, you finally get a drive put together that marches down the field and gets points. Defensive stop on a three and out. And then, yeah, Keaton's punt return touchdown. Was that was that punt return one of those kind of moments where you're just thinking in your head, oh, no, as he's trying to reverse all the way back around the field? Or have you seen Keaton so many times that you think, eh, he's probably got it figured out?
I was really thinking, oh, no, when I saw Cale Pearson lining up for a blindside block. And he did a really good job of easing up and not de-cleaning the kid, and just kind of ran in front of him so we didn't get called for a flag, because that was the key block. Once Keaton broke one tackle, Cale makes that key block on the edge, and then there's no one. You're not catching him when he gets the corner on you. And so that was a really good play by a sophomore. And then just, again, that's another example of one of our seniors just making a play. You know, we talked to him at halftime. Hinton had a great plan for him defensively. They put two of their best athletes on him. They put one in his face, and then another one was 10, 15 yards downfield, and they were not going to let him touch the ball, which is fine. We had other guys step up. But on those kick returns, punt returns, that's a chance where you can't double-team him. And, you know, we talked about it at halftime. Hey, dude, you got to make a play for us. And he went out there and made one, and that was, you know, really good to see.
Well, he made one there with the kick return touchdown, and then, you know, after you guys retake the lead with that pass to Ryan Augustine, he makes another play for you with an interception, and I thought his defense last night was outstanding. Another pair of interceptions. What is that now? Four interceptions in two games for him. He's doing some great things on defense, Coach.
Yeah, I think he might be the Class A leader. I think he's got five on the season. He had the pick six at Unity, so. Yeah, he he roams the middle of the field. He plays a great single high safety, and he can get from numbers to numbers, and he might tell you he can get from sideline to sideline, and especially if you're going to put up a wobbly ball, he's going to go get it. Yeah. That's he has that, you know, they say about defensive backs, they're receivers that can't catch well. He can catch. We know that. And, you know, he really takes that mentality of when the ball's in the air, it's his. He's going to get it. He plays the ball extremely well in the air. And so, again, another example of him just, you know, they were able to hold him down on offense. But he's going to get his hands on the ball eventually. And usually when that happens, good things happen.
And it, good things happen, too. We're chatting with Jeremy Schindler, head coach of Galen Catholic football. Good things still happening on the offensive side. When you take Keaton Bonderson away, like you said, it's good to have guys step up. And I thought one of the guys that may go a little unnoticed in the contest was Ryan Augustine. 6 catches. He had a touchdown for you and a number of big plays on the offensive side. Of course, that touchdown gave you the lead back in quarter number 4. Yeah, how big was his play out of that tight end spot when you needed somebody to dump it off to throw in the football? He seemed to be there for you guys.
Oh, he's an extremely underrated part of our offense. He doesn't get talked about near enough because we do have, you know, the splash players like Keaton and like Aiden and even Keaton Logan. You know, Ryan did a great job, and I'll give him some credit. We had talked about it at halftime, but that touchdown pass, he's actually looking at me on the sideline, giving me the combo that's going to work. And I, you know, I trust my guys. They're the ones who are out there. They know what's going on. They're seeing it firsthand. And he called for a specific combo, and he told Connor, he said, I'm going to be open. And Connor put it on the money, and Ryan made a great catch. He does a great job for us offensively and defensively, whether he's blocking, whether he's making catches. I think him catching the ball this year compared to last year, he has added that as a bigger weapon. He's a more consistent catcher of the football, and he had a great game and really stepped up. Again, another instance where we had a senior, you know, who was going to make a play for us really when we needed it to get the win.
And another senior who made plays for you on the offensive end was Connor Kraft. Of course, not only could he throw the ball last night, but he could run the ball, too, and that was a part of his game. You pester him enough, finally, and he goes out for track last year, so you know he can run around the track. He can run around the football field, and it showed last night. And how big were those plays, as you talk about, with the aggressive defensive ends? He just keeps that thing around the outside, and he was able to get some big gains and even a couple of touchdown runs.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, without Aiden, you know, you have Kale back there, and he did a great job running the football, but Connor's going to have to take on a little bit more of that running the football load, and so, you know, he had the 2 touchdown runs, and then the really big first down at the end of the game to where we could kneel it out, you know, on a naked bootleg, and so he's such a physical runner too for a quarterback. He's one of our strongest kids in the weight room. He's always been a big weight room guy, and you know, he's again another example of he wasn't going to let us lose in that situation, and really just kind of put his head down and got those 2 touchdowns, fought for the extra yardage, and then made some other plays in the run game. So I thought he had a great game. You know, we didn't have great success throwing the ball, but we had enough, and that's a credit to him because he made some plays in the passing game.
Made some great plays in the passing game, and like you said, just enough to get the job done. Finally, one other guy I want to highlight, and obviously defensive line play probably wasn't up to your standard in the first half. I think things really it stepped up a little bit in the second half, and then a guy like Will Harpinaugh seals the game with an interception out of the nose tackle position. You have coached, played on the line, played on the line, coach, and whenever those big guys get to touch the football, it's a very special time.
I love it. I thought he was going to score a touchdown. I wanted to see a dog pile on the big lineman in the end zone. You know, he's the type of kid. He's really smart and watches a ton of film on his own time, and just he was schooled up right there. Because if you watch, the rest of our defensive line and linebackers are flying at the quarterback, and we always tell our guys, hey, if it's seems too easy. It's probably too easy. You know, we're not a bunch of TJ Watts out here. So he definitely did what he was supposed to. He felt that, hey, that was too easy. He sat, found the running back, and then just made a play on the football. You know, now he just got to – hopefully he doesn't pester me about playing tight end or anything like that. But just a great play on his part to really know the situation, you know, understand that in the second half with their backup quarterback, they hadn't had a lot of success throwing the ball downfield, and that they needed a chunk play, and it was a good down for a screen play, and he really read it up and just, again, made a play.
Well, and you obviously talk about him being able to watch film and recognize that from his film study, but they had dumped off those little slip bubble, whatever you want to call it, kind of middle screens there like that with their running back a couple of times. So, yeah, that's an outstanding play in the moment from him to just recognize that that's coming, and, hey, I just need to stay back on that one.
Absolutely. You know, it's, you know, again, he learned from the mistakes that we had made earlier in the game where, you know, maybe we didn't retrace our steps like we're supposed to and get back to the line of scrimmage and help out and bring down the ball carrier. So, you know, just a really good job on his part.
Coach, one of the other aspects about this contest that I found really intriguing was the field position battle was never in your favor until quarter number four. I think there was a point there where you guys had not been in Hinton territory in over a quarter. The ball, period, had not been in Hinton territory for over a quarter. How tough was it to overcome that aspect of the game and just give yourselves something to work with offensively?
Yeah, it's not fun playing in your own end. And, you know, it's something we're going to have to look at is definitely our punt coverage. You know, we did not cover punts well. We have a great weapon in Keaton Bonderson. He's a great punter. You know, obviously the block punt wasn't good. So we're definitely going to have to take a look at the punt team and just kind of say, hey, we got to clean some things up here, because that's not good. And then the coverage part of it, too. We got to get guys flying down. You know, Ryan Augustine is our long snapper, and he does a great job of getting down there and identifying where the ball's at. But when the next guys are 10 yards behind him, you know, making that one-on-one tackle is really hard. It's really Ryan's job to kind of make that return man make a cut. And then you got to have another two or three guys right behind him ready to, when that guy slows down and has to make a cut, they got to be able to make the tackle. And so, again, that's something that we're definitely going to take a look at on film, and we got to clean up because you don't want to give up cheap points on punt returns. I mean, those are game-changing plays.
Very game-changing plays. Yeah, and even when they don't score, they can be game-changing as well. Jeremy Schindler's with us. Last thing for you, Coach. Akron Westfield's coming up next week. This is now the midway point of the season. You're going down the back half of the regular season schedule. This feels like a big game. This feels like another one that you guys have to be ready for. What do you want out of your guys here as you start heading into the back stretch of the regular season and try and, you know, start picking off and rattling these district wins off?
Yeah, I mean, again, every week we just want to go 1-0, and our guys have to learn from last night. We have to learn that you can't enter a game with that kind of lack of enthusiasm and energy. We have to learn that we have to execute better on offense, and that we have to tackle a little bit better on defense. You know, there's a lot to learn from last night. There's a lot to be happy about that we stuck together, and Coach Ellenzone said it at the end of the night. You know, in a week or two, the only thing that matters is that you won the football game. It doesn't matter how. No one's going to care how you won it. You won the football game. That's what's important. As long as we learn from it, and that's the key today, is we learn from our mistakes and get better as a football team, and then, you know, take that into next week and really have a great week of preparation, because Akron does a lot of crazy stuff offensively and defensively, so you just have to make sure you're lining up in the correct spots and you know, execute offensively and defensively.
That's a home game for you guys back at Jim Lorenzen Field, so it should be, like you said, a good one, and we'll look forward to that contest, Coach. We appreciate your time, as always. Best of luck to you guys this week, and we'll chat with you next week.
Sounds good. Thank you.
That's Jeremy Schindler joining us. He's the head coach of Galing Catholic Football. We'll be back to wrap up the Coach's Corner after this here on KLEM.
The pursuit of true health. That's the goal of Dr. Jared Langle of True Health Chiropractic, Lamars. Dr. Jared was born and raised in Lamars, and along with his wife, Sarah, they look forward to raising their family and serving the community with a holistic approach to chiropractic, guiding patients to mindful movement and proper nutrition. True Health Chiropractic, offering adult chiropractic along with care for babies and children, fertility and pregnancy, accepting your insurance. True Health Chiropractic, located just off Business Highway 75 South Lamars, across from Four Brothers. Call 712-305-0154. Discover wellness. Discover True Health Chiropractic, Dr. Jared Langle. And like True Health Chiropractic on Facebook.
Are you looking for local and dependable overhead door sales and service? Hi, my name is Adam, owner of Chapman Overhead Doors. We are excited to bring over 30 years of experience from the Spencer area to Lamars and surrounding communities. Chapman Overhead Doors services all makes and models of commercial and residential garage doors. We sell only the highest quality Midland doors. Call Chapman Overhead Doors for a free quote today, 541-1179. That's 541-1179.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And we're back on the Coach's Corner for another Saturday morning. Daniel Versteg with you. Coach's Corner is brought to you by Chapman Overhead Door, Nohava Construction, Floyd Valley Healthcare, True Health Chiropractic, Sitzman Construction, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Get Branded 360, and Ameriprise Financial with Mike and Ross Rulin. Our thanks, as always, to Lamars Community Head Football Coach Ken Vigdahl and Galing Catholic Head Football Coach Jeremy Schindler for their time each and every Saturday morning to chat about last night's contest. And, boy, some great wins for the Bulldogs and the Jays. How about a pair of 3-1 teams here in town? It could get even better. They may both be ranked coming up in these next week's set of rankings. We'll see how the polls favor them. I think Lamars will be in the top 10, but that is yet to be determined. So it'll be interesting to see how things pair out rankings-wise. Of course, we're on every Saturday morning to chat with Coach Vigdahl and Coach Schindler, so look forward to that next week at 8:05 once again. Coming up this week, as far as sports broadcasts are concerned, coming up on Tuesday, we'll be at the Lamars Community Gym. The Bulldogs host the West High Wolverines in Missouri River Conference volleyball matchup. We'll have the coverage for you starting around 6:45 with first serve at 7 o'clock. And then our football game Friday night features the Lamars Bulldogs taking on the Storm Lake Tornadoes in Storm Lake. That'll be a district contest, the first district contest of the year for the Bulldogs. Pre-game coverage gets started at 6:15. Kickoff will be at 7 o'clock. And unfortunately, we cannot provide you any video stream of that contest. The Storm Lake School District not allowing us to video stream that contest. They are the only ones on the schedule that did not allow us to stream a game in any form. Of course, a couple of schools have allowed us to rebroadcast the games, but Storm Lake said no way, Jose, either way. So we want to thank the schools that have allowed us to do that. Hinton last night, Bishop Heelan and East High, and of course here in town with Galen and Unity Christian. We thank all of them for being so cooperative and allowing us to do that. But Storm Lake does not allow us to do a video stream, so we won't be bringing you a video stream of that. You can still listen to the contest right here on KLEM Radio. Friday night, kickoff at 7 o'clock. Pregame will start at 6:15. That'll do it for another edition of the Coach's Corner. Thanks for tuning in. For all of us at KLEM Radio, KLEM Sports, I'm Daniel Versteg. Enjoy your Saturday and have some fun watching some college football. Bye for now.